Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions. On the first question show for fall 2019, we've got a question from listener Scott. It's a Halloween quandary. He's going to be down at Walt Disney World for his buddies over the Halloween weekend looking for some suggestions outside of Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. So we'll talk about that and much more. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now I'm packing my bags because I'm looking down at my iPhone XS Max and seeing that I only have 4 days to go till we head down on Sunday to check out the Skyliner opening, go into Galaxy's Edge for the first time, see the last illuminations, oh, so rough, and the first Epcot forever. I can tell you that I've been getting excited for this trip every time I look down at my phone, which is very often, and you can do the same as well. Drop by virtualmickey.com today. Check out all the great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. virtualmickey.com. Support the show the easiest way possible using our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase does help support the show. Again, please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1542 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you and welcome to fall 2019, where here in the States, fall means instead of being 95, it's going to be 92 until it starts snowing, I think, for most parts of the country. But hopefully that sweater weather and I guess you got to get your pumpkin spice lattes and all that good stuff is right around the corner. But we're going to have some fun talking Walt Disney World. We've got some fall questions. So, I don't know, get on your flannel and get ready. We're going to have a good time talking Disney today. And before we do that, I just want to thank everybody at the Indie Disney Meet for having us out. We had a great time raising money for Give Kids the World, part of the Disney community. Everybody got together for a great cause, Give Kids the World, and we got to meet so many of our listeners. It was so great to have you there. Thanks for coming up and saying hello and making our day. We talked about that at dinner that night that, we've said this for over 11 years. We have the best listeners, and we truly do. I mean, we had folks share funny stories. I had a couple share a very heartfelt story, a very personal story about what Walt Disney World means to them, and I was honored. And, you know, I think we came together. We had a similar kind of situation. It was just fun to put faces with names and see friends new and friends that we've known for years and years. And just thanks, everybody, at the Indie Disney Meet for letting us get to hang out with some of the best people in the world. We had a great time and raised a lot of money for Give Kids World. Thanks to everybody who donated and who bought auction items. I know a lot of our folks did that as well. It was just a great weekend. So let's get the ladies in, and we're going to get to your list of questions. Joining me from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky, what's going on?
$55,000 was raised for Give Kids the World this past weekend, which is amazing. So my little heart is so happy to know that much money was raised for Give Kids the World. So it's a good thing.
Families will get to have memories that they'll remember for lifetime, you know, for a lifetime, exactly. Forever. So because of your generosity. So thanks. And we have our, you know, we're doing the 12-hour show, mm-hmm, for the podcast here in three chunks.
Well, it's 12 total. Make sure people know. Yes.
It's 12 hours.
12 hours total, but not
divided into like a pie that looks like a peace sign. It's going to be three shows of 4 hours each. And we're going to have the first one in October. So coming up soon.
We should.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, happy Wednesday. Welcome home.
Happy Wednesday. It was awesome. $55,000 was really a cool thing to be a part of. You know, I just have such love and respect for all the folks that are participating in that help us get there one way or another, you know, just help make that happen. It's just been, it's so weird. You know, we started the company in 2002, and that's when our company started doing some fundraising for Give Kids the World. And it's so cool to see it really continued to grow and how the village has grown since that part. I mean, since 2002, it's weird to think that it's that far back, 17 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right, at this point. But the village has grown, and just the way that people are able to fundraise and put that much money into it. The Indy Disney Meet has been going, one of the longest meets like that, in effect. So that's really cool. It's cool to be a part of that. I'm just so glad for everyone who showed up or donated or helped or volunteered or everything. It's a great team there.
Absolutely. They're a well-oiled machine, man, because there's a lot going on. If you don't realize how much the folks, if you were there, the people in the purple shirts are doing, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So thank you to everybody who volunteered as well. All righty, let's get to the first question. This one's kind of a Ricky slanted question. It's from one of my good friends, Scott, one of my guests over at the Magic for Less Travel. He says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I have a trip planned for Halloween weekend and a little beyond, and we're looking for something to do on Halloween night. We're kicking off our trip with 3 nights at Universal and Halloween Horror Nights before moving over to Walt Disney World for 7 more nights. While I'd consider doing the Halloween party at the Magic Kingdom, it really doesn't appeal to our group. Traditionally, we spend Halloween night here in Los Angeles, hopping around various home haunts and professional haunted houses. What other cool things are there to do Halloween night, either at the resorts or something off property? Thanks, Scott. So I can only imagine, like, in L.A. what the houses and, like, professional haunted houses are like, because, I mean, that's like Hollywood. Probably good out there. I was just thinking about that when I got this email. So, Ricky, what would you say? I mean, they're doing Halloween. And I found a fun fact about Ricky I found out this weekend. You know, it's always fun to learn stuff about your co-host that you didn't know.
Got it.
Scared of going haunted houses over at Universal. She goes to the dang event, but doesn't like to go to the house.
I don't go to the house.
And I worked at a haunted house, by the way, in college and loved every minute. Silo X, RIP.
I've worked in haunted houses before, which is the funny part.
Oh, yeah, the JC one, right? I did
that
too.
I didn't work at that one because I was terrified to go into it. But I've worked in other ones, like in college. Like, we had one in my college dorm. I was dressed as a bear that was supposed to be eating people. I don't really know. It was a weird haunted house.
That's
anyway.
So dumb. Go ahead, though. What would you? Because I'll tell you, Scott's trip is—it's four buddies, it's four guys
having
a good time. So, what is there to do? I mean, they've already done Halloween Horror Nights. So, what would you say for Halloween night?
I mean, if they've already done Halloween Horror Nights, that's and they don't want to go to Mickey's Not So Scary. I mean, that's really the only other thing I can think of is if you wanted to take the trek down to, like, Busch Gardens, I think they do Hollow Scream down there, which is an option, and I know that I hear that that's kind of terrifying, so that's a choice if you wanted to go down to Tampa, but other than that, I mean, I don't know that there's a lot of, like, scary Halloween stuff that really occurs in Orlando besides Halloween Horror Nights, and then you've got the not-so-scary option over at Disney. You've also got, like, main characters in Halloween costumes at Disney. But, again, I don't really know that that's quite up their alley. So, but they meet at the resorts for anybody that's at the resorts on Halloween in costumes, which is really cute. So, but, yeah, besides going to Halloween Horror Nights, man, I really don't know what to do on Halloween. I say just buy another ticket for Halloween Horror Nights. They've got their Rush of Fear Pass and the Frequent Fear Pass, I think, that they've got, and go buy that and just do it up real good. I mean, you're going to want to see all the houses for Halloween Horror Nights, and it's going to take you, depending on the day, and especially if you're going closer to Halloween, it may take you a number of days to actually see those houses. So that might be the right option to go with. Plus, you also want to make sure you get pizza fries, as well as Twisted Taters, as well as this year they've added s'mores fries. I'm all about it. See, this is what I go to Halloween Horror Nights for. I go for the scare zones so I can watch, like, so I can see the hauntedness and, like, I can keep my eye on everybody. Like, I'm really good at scoping out where those scare actors are. See, when they come out at me from, like, the, you know, the boo holes in the houses, that scares the bejeebus out of me. But when I can keep an eye on them and kind of catch and watch them eye to eye and, you know, look at them like that, I'm okay. So I really go for, and plus I get to ride the rides without much of a wait.
That's
so
true.
That part's nice too, yeah.
But see, I have the right answer. Okay, so you get your buddies together. You get on your flannel because it's fall, right? You get a churro or something.
Are we gonna find chainsaws?
No, you go over to you go over to Fort Wilderness. You almost blew it. Okay, so you go to Fort Wilderness. You walk in the loops over there, and you get into a really
you know, like woodsy one where there's not a lot of people work, you know, there. And then Goofy pop, jumps out with a chainsaw. What are you doing, Ricky? I was like, just stop talking so I can get to my line here. Because one of our littlest listeners, he loves that show because he says that's our dinosaur show because we say rawr. So that was for our little listener that we met at the Indy Disney meet. Thanks for screwing it up, Ricky. Anyway, Pam, anything else that these four guys could do? I mean, it sounds like they're really looking for a good scare, and Halloween Horror Nights is probably about the best in Orlando.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Disney just doesn't do anything that's going to be that kind of scary. But if you're open to just, like, getting that Halloween kind of feeling, you can go over to Fort Wilderness, too, and see people decorate their campsites like they do at the holidays. I mean, it's not quite the level of, you know, that you're going to see at Christmas, but they absolutely do it then too. There's some cool stuff there. It's not an official thing. So if those folks who normally decorate aren't there, don't happen to be camping this year, then they may not be there. But anyways, you have that. I would just take the opportunity to, you know, do what you're going to do in Walt Disney World, I think, too. If you're there, if that's where you're staying, that's the easiest to do. Just think of something besides, don't, you know, it doesn't have to be a real Halloween theme.
I will say I have done one very cool thing on Halloween at Walt Disney World before, and that is riding Tower of Terror on Halloween. And you know why? Because the lightning struck on Halloween night. So that's one of the really cool things that you can do if you're at Walt Disney World and you're not going to Mickey's Not So Scary. Go ride Tower of Terror because it happened on Halloween night.
That's a good call. Or, you know, you could also, I'm sure there's standalone haunted houses in Orlando. Just catch an Uber and do that. I mean, there's got to be at least one or two. I mean, because they're
money
makers.
I would think my brother would know about those, and he's never mentioned one to me because he's like a Halloween like aficionado, so...
I don't know that they would be better than what...
Definitely not better than what Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something about standing in line for 3 hours getting haunted house on Halloween. That's crazy. Anyway, all right, next question is from Jody Drake, who was at the Indy Disney meet, who had a little magic happen. Question, I know Mike and Pam have probably dealt with this, so I thought I'd throw this question out there. I will be at the World in February with my two daughters. They're 12 and 15. Would you feel comfortable turning the kids at this age loose in the parks by themselves? I'm sure they would like a little freedom and might not want to do everything the adults are doing. So this is parenting advice, Pam, and we've both been there. I'll give you what I've done. Now, here's the thing. You got two together. The thing is, two together is always better because sometimes the younger kid has more sense than the older kid. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying a lot of times maybe the 12-year-old has more, you know, they're a little bit scaredy cat, mm-hmm. and that helps keep everybody safe. I'm just saying. Basically, my frame of reference was Hannah and Paige, you know, because a lot of times I would go down with just Paige, and then you guys were there with Hannah, and we'd want to go do something. I think it's a good place where you can let them go in the park you're in. Like, say you want to go to Tomorrowland, it's okay maybe to let them go with, especially with cell phones now, go over to Adventureland, ride Jungle Cruise. That's a good way to start it. I don't know if I would maybe cut them loose, like, from Pop Century to say, okay, go to Animal Kingdom and have a good day, and we'll see you later tonight. I like to be in the park with them and kind of see how mm-hmm. that goes and then step it up. But, I mean, 12's kind of young. I don't total personal thing, but that's what I say, Pam.
So, with two of them, like you said, Mike, they sort of, when you have two together, they sort of keep each other honest.
Yeah.
One for one reason or another, either they want to both do the same thing or they want to sort of tattle on the other one who may not be doing the right thing. Right. So I think that, you know, is something that you consider 12 and 15. I mean, the 15-year-old is going to be able to drive the year after. I mean, and going to be doing stuff on his or her own. You said two girls, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. She's going to be doing stuff on her own the next year. So I think it is good prep for that. Like Mike said, why don't you give it a dry run and see how they do in the same park. But I think that if that goes okay, I think I would be okay. Here would be my stipulations. You have to take Disney transportation places. So no Uber, no lifting,
nope.
No anything like that. You could take a minivan. That I would be allowed if they were going. But what I would really like for them to do is take Disney transportation to the park if I wasn't going to be there. Call me when they were in the park and check in with me at regularly scheduled times. Now, I was total psycho parent to this day. I still have Hannah do that.
It's true. You do.
I do. So, but I just feel better. It's like once I know she's there, I can see her on Find My Friends. Oh, and by the way,
that's a big tip. That's a huge thing. Find My Friends. I was going to mention
absolutely.
That. Like, because you can literally see right now where they are. And that way you can, that is, man, I'm so glad we didn't have that when I was in high school. But it is a great thing for right now. It gives you peace of mind. I mean, I do that with Paige at college. You know, she's an adult. She's graduated. She's a grad student. But I mean, I just like to know that at the end of the night, she's back at her apartment. You know, like she's safe. Okay. She's good. You know,
agreed.
I mean, yeah, good tip.
Totally there. So yeah, but I have found, you know, that Disney sort of is a bubble. It's not to say that bad things can't happen there and everything else, but there's a lot of people around who are going to be a champion or a protector for kids. Should anything feel weird or creepy or whatever, speak up, talk to a cast member, or I always said this is, find a mom who has kids or a dad who has kids. You know what I mean? Because more times than not, they're going to help if you need help. So anyways, and I'm sure you know all this. It's about a bit of unsolicited parenting advice from us. You sort of asked for it, but not for all of that. So.
All right. Next. Okay. So the next question is actually not a question. It's a declarative sentence. And it's from Michelle. She says, I think the winning name for a Skyliner crawl is the Gondola Go Around. Just wanted to pass it along.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
I like that a lot, actually.
I do. All right. Yeah. Maggie's got a question in the live Facebook chat. What do I do if, what do I do? What do I do if I do a Run Disney event? That's hard to read. I'm sorry. That's a lot of doo-doo. What do I do if I do a Run Disney event and I normally work evenings? My regular bedtime is 2 a.m. What's the best way to manage my sleep? Because, again, the marathon now we found out starts at 5. This is just full marathon weekend. But new course. I'm excited for that. We're running through Blizzard Beach. I'm going to have to go down Summit Plummet. What? Just kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a terrible idea.
That'd
but
be
okay.
Awesome. That'd be so sweet. Anyway,
we'd be wet running, and that's
cares?
A terrible
Who
idea.
Cares?
No,
whatever.
No.
You're stupid to be out there anyway. It's dumb.
Oh
it's they'd just be more miserable. No, but I'm just kidding. So, but seriously, like I think you do. This is one of those things where I like to get down to Walt Disney World just a few days early and kind of get myself on that schedule. But I run every day at 5 a.m., so I'm actually on a schedule. But if you're like total opposite. I don't know, Ricky. I mean, any suggestions? I can't. I mean, I guess you just have to kind of ease your way into getting up early.
Yeah, man, that's going to be tough. Especially if you can't ease your way in. You know, it's just, it's going to be tough. I mean, because by the time you get done, it depends on what kind of course. You could potentially stay up, but I mean, it would be really, really rough to do that. And then go to bed after you're done with the race if you really couldn't.
Dude, you lock up, though, if you go back to bed after the race. I did that because I was tired a couple times, man. You're like Frankenstein getting out of bed then.
That's true. I don't know. That's tough. That's really tough. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Pam, any suggestions for like people that are – because I think about that, but I'm like shift workers maybe. I mean, that's really kind of a bad thing. If you got to all of a sudden like, boom, make the change.
I know. This is something I am so not skilled in. I've always worked like regular, you know, day things. Thank goodness because I am so inflexible in terms of my sleep pattern, really and truly. And it's only getting worse. I remember when Steve and I were first dating in college – when he first started working at the hospital, he would work, you know, different shifts at different times. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't adapt to your shift. Like, I have to go to bed at the same time I go to bed. You know what I mean? So anyways, just not my strong suit. I don't know how folks do it. But I think the key is to, I mean, you probably have some flexibility in your space in terms of there are probably other times when you get up at more normal times, right? More typical sleep and awake times. What do you do? How do you make that transition when you're doing that? And maybe that helps there. But yeah, it's gonna be an early morning or a really, really late night, either way you look at it compared to what you're thinking of. Maybe you'll have an edge over.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. Because it's brutal for everybody.
Like, I know, that's true, right?
Everybody's like, why am I standing in a parking lot at 3:30 in the morning doing the cha-cha slide before the race? Like, what led me to this parking lot? You know, and cha-cha slide some DJ at 3:45 with big Mickey hands having me dancing around. Okay, and then you're going to go, we're going to turn you loose. Go run 13. Or whatever it is. It's crazy.
Too funny.
All right, next question. It's about Rafiki's Planet Watch. Is it still a thing? It's from Whitney, down in Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Mike, BOGP crew. Is Rafiki's Planet Watch open again at Animal Kingdom? I know it closed for a while last fall. If it is open, what's over there now? Looks like maybe a petting zoo? Do you still take a train to get there? I know it doesn't get a lot of love for most people, but we're headed to Walt Disney World in December, and I think our 2 and 4-year-old would actually love a petting zoo and a train ride, especially since the Magic Kingdom trains are not running right now. Also, do you know if you can fit a double stroller on the train? Whitney from Memphis. Ricky, the question is it still a thing, Rafiki's Planet Watch?
It has reopened, which is good news. I think for a 2 and 4-year-old, this is the perfect thing to go do. So over at Rafiki's Planet Watch, there is the affection section, which is the petting zoo. There's also Conservation Station, which has some exhibits and things like that.
Dang names.
I know.
The affection section.
Don't let high schoolers go there.
Maybe those teenagers. So at the I'm confused. Okay, Conservation Station, they have the ability to do like exhibits. They also sometimes have the ability to see surgeries performed and things like that on animals. There's also right now the new thing that they've added. Now your kiddos are probably a little young for this, but for those who are curious, they have added the ability to learn how to draw. So they have an animation class there where you're learning how to draw characters from The Lion King. And I think they bring out an animal that's similar to what you're drawing, more or less. You know, I mean, obviously they're not bringing out a lion, but. I know, sorry.
I want a lion.
I know, but they're bringing out similar stuff. And then you learn a little bit about the animal and how maybe that animal was influenced, you know, in The Lion King. And then you draw a character from The Lion King. So, it's a great little area. It isn't talked about a lot because, you know, it's pretty heavy on the educational side of things, I think. And it hasn't gotten necessarily the love from Disney that I think that other places have. The addition of the drawing class is something that's nice. But, you know, I've been over there and some of the exhibits they have are a little dated. And I think that that's probably why it doesn't get the love that it maybe should. But the petting zoo is really fun. Now, the problem with the petting zoo is sometimes they pen off the animals, and so when they're penned off, you can't pet them. So just keep that in mind. I don't know if they have like a certain time of day that they tend to do that more or not. I would say maybe head over there more toward the morning. That way, you may have more of an opportunity to pet said animals. Because I think I went over there in the afternoon, and they were kind of like on break. So
the goats have been brushed too much. Their hair was
correct.
Perfect.
Exactly. So just
as a parent, that was my favorite time when we couldn't actually pet the animals.
Got it.
Darn it! So, it came at the wrong time.
No, shoot. then we didn't walk away from it smelling all goaty.
Yeah, I love brushing the goats. We have a zoo and we have Grant's Farm. We do both. You give them the milk.
I like
and you,
to see them from afar.
Yeah, but they bite. They try to eat your clothes, man. They're crazy. They're aggressive.
It wasn't the actual goats. It was the smell. Like, and all there was was like the hand sanitizer thing. And I'm like, that did nothing for my hands that smell like goat.
My hands still reek of goat.
Yeah, you need one of those like Survivor showers that you go in and just pull the cord and. All right, next question is from Morgan. Resort hopping gondola question. Hello to my favorite podcast team. My mom and I are headed down to the World November 22 through 26. About 2 weeks or so after I come on the podcast to talk about my last trip. Sorry,
Yay!
We have a long schedule. I don't know what else to do other than like duplicate me. I can't find other times. We do them all Wednesdays. Anyway, we'll be arriving at MCO around 8:30 a.m., which gets us to All-Star Movies around 10 or 10:30. We want to go to Disney Springs after we drop our bags off for about an hour or two. Then we want to check out the gondolas and resort hop a bit. My question to you all, what order do you think would be best in accomplishing these things? We're thinking about catching a bus from Disney Springs to one of the gondola resorts, riding a gondola to Hollywood Studios, and from there, we really want to see all of the deluxe resorts. We have until 7:20 p.m. that night. We have a dinner reservation at Whispering Canyon, so we'll end our adventure at Wilderness Lodge. We'd also love to know what transportation y'all think would be best in getting to all these resorts. Thanks for all you do, Morgan in Bristow, Virginia. All right, so they're going to go to Disney Springs for an hour or two. Then they're going to catch a... So here's the stuff that's given. They're going to then catch a bus, like the Pop Century. I just go to Pop or Art of Animation because there's going to be a lot of buses because it's a big resort. Or Caribbean Beach, it doesn't matter. So go there and grab a gondola. And if you're going to go to Hollywood Studios, go there. So after Hollywood Studios, then obviously what you would do is just... I would walk or take that friendship taxi to Beach Yacht and Boardwalk if you wanted to tour those.
Yeah.
And then you could easily take a bus to the Magic Kingdom, ride the monorail around the monorail resorts, and then take a boat. I'd end at the Contemporary, take the boat from Contemporary to Wilderness Lodge and have your dinner, right?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's it. God, I think there's no other way around that. I think that's the best course of action. Yes.
Try to picture it in there. I'm walking right along with them. I was on Magical Express with them. Then I was having a little fun time over at Disney Springs. Then I was on the gondolas with them. Then I was on a bus. You're doing it all. But I like it because to me, Disney, this kind of sounds crazy, but I think our listeners will understand. I'm excited about riding the Disney buses for a few days when I'm down there next week. I don't mind them. I like it.
You really do. Every trip you get excited about riding the buses, and I understand it. I'm just saying it's always one of the things that you mentioned about you're excited about.
I mean, because you, especially solo, you meet people. You know, you get to talk to people, and it's fun. Yeah. All right, next.
Oh, you'll have to make sure you try to ride one of the new buses.
I know that's a whole thing. I know. Seriously, yeah. Like I need to charge my phone on it, but it'll be fine. I do want to ride it. Yeah, check it out. It'll have that new bus smell.
It will.
Anyway.
And it's not goaty.
It's not goaty.
I should say it'll have a smell. I don't know if it'll be a new bus smell, but it'll have a smell. All right, next, George Reeves in the live chat. Question. I'll be at the World for Marathon Weekend. His first dopey. What? Good job. From the 7th to the 17th. That's a good long trip. And just wonder, after Marathon Sunday, will that next week be less busy? Correctamundo. That's actually a good week to be down before Martin Luther King. It starts picking up, though, right before Martin Luther King, which is, I think, the next weekend, if I'm thinking. Calendar. Yeah, I think after Marathon Weekend, people are moving a lot slower. So will you. And, no, it's a good time to be there. And shout out to Bethany. 2 days till she goes down. Have fun. By the time the show comes out, you'll be there. All right, next question. I just had it, and here it is. It's from Brianne. Hey, BOGP crew. And the title is Trying Unsuccessfully to Be Legit. Doesn't that just pique your interest? Like, what's this
is
about?
It, is it too legit?
That's what I was going to say. She's
dang it, me and Mike have been around each other way too
it's
much.
It's from Mr. Hammer, MC, from Oakland, California. Anyway. Hi, BRGP crew. I'm a Walt Disney World annual pass holder who plans to meet up with two friends at Walt Disney World in early November. They have a suite at Art of Animation and have kindly invited me to stay with them. However, when they tried to add me to the reservation, I realized they had booked a package, which included park tickets and the dining plan, so they couldn't add me to the reservation without paying for an additional park ticket and dining plan. I'm only staying for 4 of the 7 nights, so it really doesn't make sense for me to buy a dining plan or park ticket for 7 days when I have an annual pass already. I'd rather be a legit guest, but it seems like I'm running into roadblocks with Disney unless I make a separate reservation and don't stay with my friends. Is that true? Or is there a way to add me to the room at check-in? I'm happy to pay a per-day additional guest fee if that's an option, even if it would be for the entire stay. Thanks for your help, Brianne. And I love this because she's trying to do the right thing, but she just needs to know how to get it done. So Pam, walk her through this process.
So it is possible to be added to the reservation. Once you get there, you're going to go to the front desk and do it all legit. Tell them the dates that you'll be there and whatnot. So here's the issue when adding what they sort of loosely call a day guest, although I know you're more than a day guest in this situation. You are staying overnight. You can't use Magical Express from the airport. That's just not an option to you. You won't be able to make your FastPass Plus reservations at 60 days because you're not actually staying there. You'll be able to do it 30 days in advance, like other guests who don't have a reservation on site. If you, if the normal occupancy in the room is two adults, then they will charge you the, you know, the extra price for the nights that you'll be there. But other than that, everything else should work out okay, just as long as you don't need to do those things that we talked about.
And it's always better to do it the right way, which I'm so glad you're doing. That's exactly how to go about it. All right, next question, a little bit different one. It's from Chris, longtime listener, but I don't think this question was ever asked before. The BR Guest team gets an email from Disney saying that they love your passion and positive outlook, and they want to memorialize you all by putting you in the background or in a small role of an upcoming movie. Look at that. They let you select your role. Would it be as a droid in the next Star Wars movie, a toy in Toy Story 5, one of the emotions in Inside Out 2, the evil program in Tron 3, being the guy in the background running in a lizard shirt, something else? Keep up the great works. Oh, and only 140 miles from Pam, go Penn State. So I was thinking about this. So if you want, like, just like a, you know, how they put those, like, Easter eggs.
Yeah.
In, like, a Pixar movie or even a, you know, Disney movie, whatever. Pam, where would you pop up? Like, if you had a chance. Like, they said, we're going to make you an Easter egg somewhere that's special to you in a movie. What would you do?
I mean, it wasn't one of the choices there, but I mean, we got asked this question over, you know, the Indie Disney meet. And of course, my favorite movie, my favorite Disney movie is Up. I mean, there's just something about that that touches my heart. Now, there's a whole bunch of other ones that I love nearly as much as that. But if I had the, I mean, if I had the option to do that, it would absolutely be there. Although I love the idea of being part of history with the Star Wars movies. I almost feel like they've done enough with them to kind of, I don't want to mess with them anymore. I will just leave it at that and move on. So with that, what were some of the other choices?
Well, I think he's just offering up just some suggestions, kind of get us on the right track. So, you know, here's mine. I was thinking about this because obviously I saw the emails that came in. You know, Toy Story is my favorite movie, like as far as Disney movies, because Buzz Lightyear is my favorite character. What I would love to see, and it's kind of fun because we're already kind of a cartoon. Like, we have that little, like, banner of us as cartoons, which I love. And it's on, like, our business cards and stuff. I would love to have, like, Cartoon Mike on, like, a classic iPad on, like, or not iPad, like an iPod. You know, like the old one with the clicky wheel that's on, you know, say, like, Buzz's hip as he's going around. It's playing Be Our Guest podcast, but it's got, like, our three, like, cartoon people. Like, that'd in the, you know, cute. In the old, you know, it had, like, a little screen on it with a click wheel under it. I think that'd be, like, my ultimate Easter egg. Like, Buzz or Woody with, like, an old iPod with our cartoon people listening to an episode of the Be Our Guest podcast. That'd be my favorite. So, Pam, did you come up with something for Up?
So, I just think, like, somehow maybe in the balloons. I mean, that classic scene. Like, can there be a Be Our Guest logo on one of the balloons?
Yes.
I mean, that would be kind of a cool thing, because especially I think that the animation in that particular scene was so good when you saw all the different balloons there and you kind of got, you know, a close up of a few of them. So I would love to see that.
Yeah. What about you, Ricky? Where would you pop up as an Easter egg?
I think that it would be fun if we collectively popped up maybe in like the in the Wreck-It Ralph. You know, and cool. Ralph Breaks the Internet. I think that having like a Be Our Guest, like, you know, logo or, you know, something like in the scene of where they're looking at the internet and, you know, seeing all the different like pop-ups of different like places you can go on the internet. I think like having, you know, our faces be a part of that and like our logo somewhere in the internet scene, I think would be a really cool thing.
That would be awesome. That'd be so, yeah, I think that's even better. Yeah, I'd love to be on it. I love Wreck-It Ralph.
I know. I don't like Ralph Breaks the Internet as much as I like the first Wreck-It Ralph, but I think that that would be a really cool way to tie our podcast in and what we do in with the whole idea of being in a Disney movie. So I think that that would be a really good idea.
Haven't seen Ralph Breaks the Internet, but I will on November 12th because I signed up for 3 years of Disney Plus. You know, when they get me, they're doing something right.
That's true, because Mike Rollman does not watch Disney movies. So it's true.
But,
it's
I got it for the Star Wars, so I didn't have to pop in the Blu-rays anymore.
Yes.
So, all right, last question of the day. It's from Tanya Brewer. She is 703 miles from Happily Ever After. Dear Mike, Pam, and Ricky, as of this email, we're 115 days from the marathon. What are your thoughts on the course changes announced? I love the idea of the 5 a.m. start and increased probability of not having another hot race. I'm excited that there is going to be more time in Epcot and less on the roads. The road time was the worst. Have you ever run through Blizzard Beach? And if so, what are your thoughts? Thank you for all you do, Tanya. Now, I was having this conversation with somebody at the Indie Disney Meet this past weekend. They were saying that we've run through Blizzard Beach before. And I've run a lot of the races. I've run Princess Mare. I've run that weekend. I've run Tower of Terror 10 Miler. I've done Wine and Dine many times at night. I've done Marathon many times. I don't remember going through Blizzard.
So I think it was well before you started running, Mike. Like, I think I saw it was like in the early 2000s. So that's why. Yes. And what I saw was something. Somebody said Len had mentioned it, actually, that they had some sort of, like, bubbles or something like that.
So people were telling me about that. Now, I remember fog at Tower of Terror 10 Miler that got kind of slick.
Which, yeah, so things got slick because the road, the concrete at Blizzard Beach is not necessarily made for running. So that's why I think it's a very interesting choice that they picked it. But I heard that because the concrete mixed with the bubbles that it, caused for some problems. Now, I don't know how real that is, but that supposedly they did run in Blizzard Beach, I think in the early 2000s is what I read. So
I'm excited for the changes. I mean, give me a different course every time because I would just, want to see stuff. I'd rather be in the parks than on the roads. That's a good thing. I love running in Epcot. We've already run quite a bit in Epcot, so I can't imagine they're doing a whole lot more there. But yeah, I'm excited for that. And earlier the better, especially when it comes to
the construction, by the way, at Epcot.
Yeah, I was listening to the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, especially too, like starting at 5 a.m., what's the difference? 5:30, 5 a.m., it's still super early. And with the marathon, just the sooner you start, the less time you're going to be out in the sun. I'd rather run as much as I can before that sun gets up and high and hot. So that's a great change. So I'm glad that they're actually doing this. I will say, do you remember this? Like with the Tower of Terror 10 Miler, we used to run through the woods at ESPN. Like you wouldn't go in the ESPN main gates. They just like all of a sudden would turn you. Like there was like a sign and like, the repeating guy, it's like, there's a speed bump ahead. Be careful. There's a speed bump ahead. Be careful. Like every 10 seconds, like, hang a right here into those woods. No, for real. Go into the woods. There's a light back there. And like we did.
So was it the trail that you ran?
Yeah, we ran that. Yes.
So the first Star Wars race, we ran the trail. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever loved it.
I thought it was awesome.
Life.
It was awesome.
I'm running on a trail and there's gravel. And I was like, well, I'm walking this. I was already done with the race anyway at that point. I'm like, forget it. I'm walking. I'm not hurting myself on gravel right now.
Like, we're always thinking, Disney would never do that. Man, they put us in the woods with, like, big lights on generators, like, for a good amount of time, probably half a mile or so. I know what it was. It was part of the cross-country course that they do at Wide World of Sports for, like, high school kids. So it was fun. But, they'll do crazy stuff, so it was fun. Yeah, I'm excited for the changes, so I think it'll be fun. All right, so that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for the great questions. We got to talk around Disney, Halloween, resorts, everything. Being legit, turning your kids, parenting advice 101 from Pam and Mike. Well, a lot going on. So send those questions in. We love talking Disney with you, Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com, or drop by the Facebook page as we record. We love having you there. All right, today's show brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition, a lot going on. Ricky, what are we reading about on this free iOS app today?
Well, Mike, you, sir, are going to have to potentially go over, because I'm not entirely sure if it's going to be open yet, but you're going to have to go over to Port Orleans French Quarter, because they are going to be opening a brand new Scat Cats Club Cafe, which is going to serve beignets all day long, all day, every day. They're going to have the classic ones as well as seasonal flavors. So I'm all about the pumpkin spice beignets. And they will even serve some that are Mickey shaped. So the beignets will be made in-house daily. And they're also updating the Scat Cats Club Disney's Borderlands French Quarter. It's going to be expanded to a larger space. And the lounge is going to serve up signature beverages and offer live jazz entertainment 5 nights a week. Now, the Scat Cats Club, that's so hard to say, will begin offering experiences on October 1st. I'm not entirely sure when the beignets will begin being served, but they did say October. So I'm not sure if it's going to be the same day or a different day, but I'm all in for pumpkin spice beignets, and I'm going to miss them because I leave before the 1st, so I'm sad about that.
And I leave on the 2nd, and obviously on the 1st I'm going to be a little busy watching Epcot Forever. I love this because I think that with just a little bit of work, this place could be as popular as the River Rouge with Yeehaw Bob, you know, because I think people love jazz, and it's an American, you know, like, I don't know if people know this, but like, jazz is an American invention. That's like something uniquely American.
I mean, I'm all about the beignets, so, yeah, so bring me the beignets.
Yes, the beignets. All right, don't forget, you can get this app and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com today. Also, use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really helps support everything we do. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Follow us on social media, especially as we are down at Walt Disney World and Universal and having a good time this weekend. At Be Our Guest Pod and at Be Our Guest Mike, at Ricky Nibs and at TMFLT Pam if she pulls the trigger, which she needs to do right now. And we'll have a good time. Also on the Facebook page too, facebook.com/VRGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here and we'll be back again on Friday. We're going to have a battle between two resorts that are not in the same category. How can that be done? Stay tuned. This will be back on Friday. If you're already subscribed, guess what? It's going to show up anyway, whether you like it or not. And if you haven't subscribed, that is one of the best ways to support the show. So go out and find your favorite podcast app, hit the subscribe button, and then every show signs up or shows up on the night before we actually have the, you know, it's kind of dumb. We talked about it at the Gandy Disney Meet. They come out on Sunday nights, Tuesday nights, and Thursday nights, even though we do Monday, Wednesday, Friday shows. Any long story. Mm-hmm. Just hit subscribe. That'll help support the podcast. All right, time to get out of here. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.